Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand firm then. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, and your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up your shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions and with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fiercely make known the mystery of the gospel. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this day and that we can just come here and meet as brothers and sisters and just come and meet, come and praise you and meet in your name. Lord, thank you that you give us analogies such as the armor of God just to help us visualize things because you often just learn better from the simple things. I pray that you'd be with Scott and help you to flow through him and help us to touch our hearts. Amen.
Thank you, worship team, Mary, for opening, and Seth, thanks for opening our time of worship. This is it. This is the last chapter of Ephesians, chapter 6. And I wanted to start just giving a little review. It's kind of interesting if we look at the whole book as a whole. The first three verses kind of deal with the doctrine of the church. There are things that we as Christians should know. Paul went over some things, like he went over the gospel message. He talked about how much God loves us. He talks about having salvation through grace, the grace of God. He talked about the Holy Spirit living within us. And pretty much a whole chapter was spent on the mystery of the gospel, which is us as Gentiles being grafted in and becoming God's chosen people. And then if you look at the end of chapter 3, it's kind of interesting because there's like a doxology, which usually we find at the end of a book, but it's right at chapter 3. And I thought that's kind of odd, but it kind of breaks up the first part. And then it gets into chapters 4, 5, and 6. And some of the things we talked about there are how should we respond to the things that we know from the first three verses? What are some things that we should be doing? How has your life changed and affected by the gospel message? It talks about unity in the church. It talks about growing closer to the Lord. It talks about being willing to walk in his ways. I think Mike ended last week talking about relationships between husbands and wives. The first part of chapter 6 talks about relationships between children and parents, and slaves and masters, which is kind of interesting because we don't really have slavery in this area. Slavery exists in the world today, but we have bosses, so we could substitute that possibly. But it talks about relationships. And then we get to verse 10, which says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." Finally. That usually means that we're at the last point. You don't usually hear a sermon that's started with finally, do you? So Paul's getting to the very end, and he has a very important point to make here. And we need to pay attention to what he's saying, because what happened up to this point, if we're following everything and doing everything in our lives that we're supposed to be doing, then Paul needs us to be aware of what he's about to tell us here. I thought it was interesting Well, the other thing we see in Chen is, I think, our relationship with the Lord. We need to be strong in him. We need to be relying on his power. And I thought it was interesting what you shared, Laura, because it goes right along, I think, with what the Holy Spirit's trying to teach us this morning. You know, where is your relationship with the Lord? The question I had here this morning is exactly what you ask. Are you all in, pretty much? Are you all in for Jesus? Have you given everything to him? Because that's what he's asking us to do in the first five chapters. So when we choose to be all in with the Lord, when we choose to walk closely with the Lord, when we choose to strengthen our relationships within the body here, and within your marriage, within your family, within your work relationships, with other Christians especially, when we choose to follow God and him only. And I think part of that comes an understanding. One of the things Paul likes to use here is he talks about the heavenly realms a couple times throughout these six chapters. And when he's talking about the heavenly realms, he's talking about the spiritual realm. So when we choose to be all in with God and to follow him, we begin to understand that there's a relationship between the spiritual realm and the earthly realm that we live in here. And I think we need to understand that a little bit as we get into the armor of God, and I think we'll talk a little bit about that. But when we do all those things, Paul's kind of telling us that, well, if you're living a life like that, if you're doing all these things, if you're close with the Lord, then you better prepare for battle. It's not like sit back and take it easy. You got it made. You did everything right. You've learned everything I wanted you to do. It's now prepare for battle. It doesn't get any easier just because you're doing everything right. As we look at verses 11 and 12, it says, put on the full armor of God. Put on the full armor of God so you can stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual or the heavenly places, spiritual realm. So we need to understand a little bit of what's going on. If you have 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9, get ready to read that. When you're walking closely with the Lord, when you're all in for him, Paul's saying, beware. He's saying, watch out. Go ahead and read that. This is from 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9. Whoever has that.
Alrighty. 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that all your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are.
When you have a close relationship with the Lord, it kind of puts you on Satan's radar. I think he takes a heavenly realm marker and draws a big bullseye on your back, and you're a target for him because he doesn't like it when we're living a right life. He doesn't like it when we have a good relationship with our Heavenly Father, and he wants to do everything he can to stop that. And here's the bad news this morning. Satan does not like you. He wants to make life miserable for you. He knows your weak spots. He knows when, where, and how to tempt you. And he's going to use those things that he knows against you. And on top of that, he has help in attacking you. Now, we don't know how many angels there are. If you try to find it in Scripture, I don't think it says anywhere, like, how many angels did God create? But most scholars would believe that when Satan was cast down to earth, a third of the angels were cast down with him. It doesn't explicitly say that in Scripture, but it kind of leads us to believe that. There's a Scripture in Revelation when you read through Revelation. But anyway, Satan has help. If a third of the angels came down to earth, we would call them demons now. And so he has ways to torment us. He has ways to come after us. We need to be aware that he's going to do that. Okay? If you don't have a good relationship with the Lord, don't worry about it. Okay? But we need to have that good relationship, and you better be worried about it because it's going to happen. But now, here's the good news. I'm not very good at math, but I'm thinking if a third were cast down, that leaves two-thirds right. Am I right there? Two-thirds left. So we have two-thirds of the angels that are there to provide protection for us. They watch over us. They care for us. They minister to our needs. And we have our Heavenly Father on our side. So even though it looks like bad news when Satan comes against us, we need to understand that we're in a much better place than being with him. And we have many more resources to ward him off than what he has to come against us. There's help for us. Joshua 1:9, do you have that ready to go? Joshua 1:9 is kind of at the beginning of Joshua's ministry, and this is what God said to him.
Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
Wherever you go, God's going to be with you. Paul says in verse 11, he says, put on the armor of God. You know, God has supplied us with effective weapons to ward off Satan. It's called the armor. We're going to look at each piece this morning. But it doesn't do you much good unless you put it on, does it? Can you imagine that you're a soldier in the Roman army and you're sleeping in bed and you get the call that we're being attacked, arms. And you're so excited, you run out of bed and you go in your shorts and your t-shirt and you're there on the front lines. How long do you think you're going to last? You left all your weapons back in your room. You know, it's pretty hopeless. And so God doesn't put the armor on for us. It says that we have to put it on. And the question is, how do you put on the armor of God? And I think that's answered in the first five chapters of Ephesians. If you have a good relationship with God, you're putting the armor on as you build that relationship. Let's look at the specific pieces of armor. As we go to chapter 6, verse 14, I think we see the first one. Another thing I think is interesting, last Sunday I think Mike's whole message was on walking. Well, the message this morning is stand, stand, stand. Don't give up any ground that you gained walking. And so 14 starts again with stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. I think most of us realize that when Paul wrote this epistle, this letter to the Ephesians, he was imprisoned in Rome, and he was in house arrest. And so I think we talked about parts of Caesar's household that had become Christians, and we assumed that they were probably the guards that were guarding Paul, because how could you not be with Paul 24 hours a day and not become a Christian? You know, with just the love and everything oozing out of him. But as he observed these guards, observed their weaponry, he came up with this analogy for the spiritual things that we need to fight off Satan. So, and for a Roman soldier, a belt was pretty important. They wore it all the time, and it did a number of things. They would carry their weapons. It would keep their clothes under control so that they wouldn't be in the way, you know, when they're in battle. They would carry rations on it so they'd have food with them. So it was very important to the Roman soldier. It was something they never would be without. And so Paul equates what to that belt? Truth. Truth, I think, holds all things together. As long as we're in the truth, I think we're on the right path. But what did Pilate say to Jesus? What is truth? You know, there's a time when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. But Jesus was truth. And so I think we have two sources of truth. As I look at, some of us would say there's probably a lot of chaos going on in the world today. But if we look at the two types of truth, we can get godly truth. You know, whatever God says is truth. Whatever God does is truth. God defines truth. And so anytime we find something that God is saying something or Jesus is saying something in Scripture, we need to really lock onto that because that is truth. Now, on the other side, I think Satan influences man. Man comes up with truth. I always think that Genesis is so foundational to our faith, and Satan attacks that. One of the first things in Genesis is that God created. God created, 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 created. Day one created, day two created. Did you ever see the word evolution in Scripture? And yet man has a truth that we evolved. God says we're created. So God's truth is always true. You can take it to the bank. You can count on what he says. What man says, if it's not based on what God says, you better watch out. And you can just look at our world today that we're living in. You see all kinds of truths out there that are lies. And so I think some people are so used to lying, they don't even know when they're lying anymore. They think it's still true. But we need to be focused on our Heavenly Father. The second thing also in verse 14 is the breastplate of righteousness. I can't talk this morning. Breastplate would kind of cover all your major organs. One of the main things would cover your heart. The most important organ, I would say, that we have in our body. As Christians, we're to put on righteousness. What is our heart? What is our essence? What are innermost? I always like to go back to cleansing streams. It talks about our soul, where the spirit resides. The part of us where we decide what to do, where we think about what we want to do in life, where our emotions come from. That's the part of us that we need to cover with righteousness. And I think we get righteousness from Jesus when he shed his blood on the cross. There's no way that we can come into the presence of God because of sin in our lives unless we have that righteousness. We need to be covered with that righteousness in our lives. And I think it's important to understand that we don't do what's right just to make ourselves look good. We do what's right because that's what God wants us to do. We stand up for what's right even when it might make us look silly or everybody might come against you. But we stand up for what's right because that's what God has asked us to do. And as we learn truth, we learn what's righteous and right. It kind of goes together. And our lives need to show that when we're out into the world. Verse 15, this is a long one. It's not just shoes. It's your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. There's a lot of things going on in there. Now, the Roman analogy, they would wear sandals that, I think you know this, they had spikes in, so that when they would be planted, if it would be muddy or anything, they'd have sure footing. If you lost your footing and fell down, you'd be pretty vulnerable. So they had these spikes in that would help them, if they're going up a hill fighting, those spikes would help them have a solid foundation with their feet so that they could actually fight. So Paul is saying that we need to have the gospel of peace. We all know what the gospel is. We need to be sharing the gospel with those we come in contact every day. And when it talks about peace, I don't think it's talking about us being a pacifist. It's talking about the peace that comes from knowing Jesus, the peace that we have in our lives because of his presence there. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2, I think, preach the word. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. We're to be ministering to one another. But how do you know if you have peace? I had to think about that a little bit. Did you ever experience a time in life, I know I have, when there's just seems like everything's going wrong? There's just utter chaos. I know if some of you have young children, there's probably chaos a lot in your house with everything that's going on. Is that? Well, we got a conflicting opinion. When you're in the midst of chaos and everything seems to be going wrong and you're really struggling, nothing seems to go right at work, everything is just upside down. How do you feel? How do you feel? Are you flustered? You don't know where to turn? You don't know what to do next? I think biblical peace is when we're surrounded by chaos and yet we still have a peace within us because we're connected to our Heavenly Father. We trust Him to get us through whatever's going on. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. So the New Beginnings, New Beginnings translation of that is, when everything's utter chaos, I'm not going to worry because God's with me. It's kind of what that's saying, isn't it? We need to have peace in our lives. We need to be ready to share the gospel. The fourth thing that God has given us is a shield of faith. Verse 16. Take up the shield of faith. Again, God doesn't just give it to us. He says, take it up. There's something we have to do. Faith without works is dead. You know, faith requires action. Faith requires action on our part. You know, sometimes I just think, isn't it nice? I can just sit back and let God take care of all these things. And yet life doesn't work that way. We have to get involved. God gives us the tools, but He needs us. And there's some connection between the spiritual realm and the earthly realm. There's some things that aren't going to happen up in the spiritual realm unless we do some things down here. There's a connection that way. We need to begin to understand that, because when we're doing our part down here, things happen up there. Did the Red Sea just part for Moses when they were about to cross? Moses had to hold his hand up with a staff. And only when he did that were they able to cross. And I think it was Moses, was it the Amalekites when they were fighting? As long as Moses had his hands up, they were winning. When they came down, they were losing. There was a connection there between the spiritual realm and what was happening down here on earth. If the Israelites hadn't marched around Jericho with Joshua, as the Lord said, would the walls fell down? That seems silly to do, but yet they did it, and look what happened. There was a connection with what we do with what happens up in the spiritual realm. I had to think, what do I have faith in this morning? I had faith in a lot of things already today. When I got up, would you believe I went to the window? I wonder if the sun's going to come up today. It's going to be awful dark. I didn't feel that way at all. I had faith the sun was going to be there. I had faith that our house would be, that the heat would come on if it got cold, and it did. I didn't wake up at night and pace and check three times to see if it's going to come on or not. You know, I just had faith that's going to happen. If it doesn't, I call Dave. But I started my car. I had faith it was going to start. And when I was driving to church this morning, I had faith that if I passed Joanne, she was going to stay on her side of the road. Do you ever think about that? What would life be like if you'd worry about every car you pass wasn't going to stay? What am I going to do when it comes over in my lane? You know, we just have faith in things like that, and we just take things for granted. We need to have faith like that in our Heavenly Father and not worry about all the chaos we're in, all the things that are going on, because He's there and He's going to see us through it. When I went into the bathroom this morning, before I opened that door, it was dark in there. But when I walked in, boop, light came on. It was light. Do you notice that in your bathroom, ladies? That's the way it is with spiritual darkness. We need to do something to get rid of it. It doesn't just, if I would have stood outside and waited to, or if I would have opened the door and just stand there, eventually the light's going off and it's not going to come on unless I move. You know, we need to be using our faith and trusting God when times are tough, when things aren't working right. We have authority over that darkness. But there's some things we need to do. We need to use our faith. We need to trust in God. Sometimes it might be a prayer. Maybe it's doing something that God asks you to do. But there's something we have to do in our part. The other thing in this passage I think is interesting is that Satan is shooting flaming arrows. My translation, maybe your translation says fiery darts. I'm not sure. I had to think about that, but a flaming arrow is probably a little more of an issue than just a regular arrow. If he shoots an arrow at you and misses, no big deal. A fiery arrow misses, could land in your bed and it catches fire, or it could land in a hayfield and start a roaring fire. And can you imagine the distractions that would cause? So Satan tries to distract us. He tries to tempt us. He tries to do all kinds of things. Creates doubt and fear in our lives. But we need to have faith and trust Jesus and keep our eyes on him and trust him. Two more things. The fifth thing is the helmet of salvation. The helmet obviously covered your head. I think the Roman helmet came down a little bit in the back and covered the back of the neck. But covered your head. Salvation. The helmet of salvation, I believe what Paul's saying is protect our minds. Did your mind ever wonder? Is anyone's mind wondering now? Anybody want to be honest? Or, you know, has your mind ever wondered when you're reading scripture in the morning? That happens to me a lot. And I have to go back and, what did I just read? I have to go read it again. I mean, Satan likes to distract us. He likes to keep putting thoughts in our minds and confuse us, and we need to remember that we have salvation in Jesus Christ, that he shed his blood for us, and our salvation is assured as long as we keep our eyes on Jesus, as long as we stay focused on our Heavenly Father. So when Satan tries to distract you, when your mind wanders, when you doubt your salvation, when you're tempted to do something you know is wrong, or when you're just struggling in life, we need to remember our salvation. We need to guard our mind and remember that Jesus died for us and we are forever his as long as we keep our focus on him and follow him. The last thing is verse 17 as well. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Most people will say this is the only offensive weapon, and that's probably true, but I have to think, Paul says an awful lot just to stand firm. Stand firm. It doesn't tell us here that we're to go running, chasing after Satan. I don't know if he wants us to do that. He wants us to stand where we're at. He doesn't want us to regress or back or go back. He wants us to just stand where we're at and fight him off. We're not to go running after him or to be doing what God wants us to do. I'm not sure how that all fits in. But we need to stand firm. And our sword is there to help us do that. The power of God's word, God's spoken word, will keep the enemy at bay for you. What did Jesus do in the wilderness when Satan tempted him? What did he use to fend off those temptations? Scripture. Scripture. The power of God's word will fend off the attacks of Satan. The promise of God's word, the promises, will give us the strength we need to persevere. I had to think of a dear lady who's no longer living. We were part of a Bible study at, I think, your house, Barron Clean. Naomi Smith had a book that she called her Book of Promises, and she would share that. Whenever she read a promise from God. She'd write it down in that book. We have lots of promises from our Heavenly Father. We need to hold on to those and trust them. We know they're true. The truth of God's word will expose evil. I think the love of God's word is going to open up our hearts to those around us so we can minister. That's it for the weapons. But we're going to just spend a little bit of time. We're going to close looking at verse 18. I think you could do a whole sermon in verse 18 and 19 on prayer. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Be alert to what's going on around you. What can you pray for? Who can you pray for? How can you minister to somebody? Prayer, sometimes I say I think prayer is the best offensive weapon we have because we're calling into Calvary, I think, when we pray. We're going to close this morning, I think, praying for each other. We'll take some time to do that. Maybe we'll break up in small groups and just spend a little bit of time praying for one another. One of the things that the Roman army did when they weren't fighting is they were constantly training. I read at one point that they could carry a heavier shield and a heavier sword than their opponents because they were just stronger, because they were always in training. They were always preparing. I think we also need to follow that analogy. We need to be in training. We need to always be preparing. And I think our key to winning the battle is knowing Jesus Christ, how he lived. We need to know his word, and we need to ask him for help when we need it. And we need to put on the full armor, which goes, we put that on as we develop that relationship with our Heavenly Father and as we seek him and strive after him. You know, we need to be reading his word every day. We need to spend time in prayer. We need to be daily training and expecting that this warning that Paul's giving is going to hit you sometime in life. And it's going to be not an easy time, but a time where you can be at peace knowing that God's going to help you through it. So I think let's get in groups of three or four, and then we're just going to spend maybe 5 minutes and pray for one another. We can separate a little bit so you can hear. If you want to grab your chair, some of you want to go back there and mix it up a little bit. Get with people you don't know as well, maybe. Instructions or...